Hey guys, welcome to Surfcast. I'm glad you joined us again today. This episode and our next episode, you're going to find out very quickly, is going to have a lot of voices on Surfcast. We're going to start with Emily Gates. Welcome, Emily. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. So you are a Lee University graduate and an AmeriCorps VISTA assigned in the Leonard Center, correct?
I am, yes, sir.
And you work with Valerie. Tell us what you do here at Lee with regard to the Service Council.
Yeah, so we just plan and orchestrate the Service Council meetings. So these happen once a month, and it's just for the service clubs on campus to kind of come together under a unified vision and focus on our leadership development for a little bit.
Yeah. How many clubs?
11 clubs on our campus, yes, sir.
And we're going to be interviewing representatives from each of these clubs over this episode and the next episode. Correct?
We are.
So recently you guys held a beginning of the semester retreat with them. And tell us what you did as it relates to Simon Sinek, and you went over this thing called the Golden Circle, right?
Yeah. So Simon Sinek has this incredible model that he talks about is the most important way to communicate your mission and to communicate your vision for an organization, or in this case, a club. So he talks about always starting with your why is the most important. So starting your pitch with why you do what you do, what's the core mission, and then you move into the how you accomplish that why. And then finally, you talk about your what, so the actual products that you're putting out. And he talks about how most organizations actually do it in the reverse way. They start with their why or their what, and then sometimes they move into their why, but how it's actually so much more effective to do it the other way around.
So when you did this exercise with the leaders of these 11 clubs, what was an observation that you had in the room that day?
The biggest observation was just how impactful it was when students started with their why. Mm. It was really meaningful, and you could truly feel just the power in the room and the inspiration in the room. Instead of just getting a bunch of logistics, it was really getting to hear the hearts of so many students in the room. Yeah.
And so most of the leaders who are current, you know, they were not around when these clubs started. I mean, Crossover's been going on, mm-hmm. Backyard's been going on for 20, I guess, better yet, of 25 years now, you mm-hmm. know. So it's interesting to see how a whole new group of leaders come in and they buy into a vision that's already existing.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
You're going to hear us in these next two episodes as we talk with each one of these leaders, and we'll get right to it in just a minute. Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
My first guest today on this episode is Ethan Combe. Welcome, Ethan. Glad you're in Surfcast.
Thank you for having me.
So you are a senior at Lee University?
Yes, correct.
And you are with which club?
Lee for Life.
Lee for Life. How long have you been involved in this club?
I'm going on 4 years now.
Wow,
so
that's a long time.
Last semester, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So why this club? Why did you pick this club, and why are you doing this?
Actually, initially I was invited by my transfer leader, mm-hmm. Tim Daughtry. I don't know if you guys know him.
So you're a transfer student?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
correct.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So, yeah, he actually invited me initially. And so I thought, yeah, you know, I don't have any other places to be on campus. But it turned into so much more than that. From the first time, Lee for Life works specifically with New Hope Pregnancy Center here in Cleveland. And the first time that I visited that house and that organization, it blew me away on how professional everything was. And it just the amount of passion and emotion that goes into every single square inch of that place is incredible. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's kind of what really brought me into the club. And so for a few years now, I was marketing director for a while. And finally, now I'm vice president. And so I've been under the direction of two presidents now. But yeah, so it's been really, really cool experience for me to try and grow this club in the best way we can, especially in this kind of growing hostility where the pro-life movement is kind of coming under a lot of attack from both sides, both pro-life people and pro-choice people. Mm-hmm. So
what's the real vision for this club?
Mm-hmm. I think our vision is simply to give a voice to the voiceless.
Okay.
We are really looking forward to giving that voice to those unborn babies, to those mothers who have been kind of silenced by organizations like Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. who they like putting out their own version of events. They like putting out their own version of history, almost. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look back, even Roe v. Wade, Roe herself is actually now a pro-lifer.
Yes.
She was actually converted later in life to this position.
Yes.
She regrets it greatly. Mm-hmm. But so it's really, really interesting to see kind of the full circle-ness, I guess, of this.
So what do you guys do?
Well, we, like I said before, we volunteer at New Hope Pregnancy Center. Mm-hmm. And what that kind of does is we are not usually able to serve directly with our people who okay. we would be serving with because of privacy laws, sure. HIPAA, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But we're able to do like things like mailings. We're able to do things like fundraise for them. Like we actually do what's called the Walk for Life.
Oh, cool.
That'll happen this later in December.
Okay.
This September.
Okay.
And so I'm really excited to do that. I've done it for 3 years now, going to my fourth. And so I'm super excited because that's just a fantastic way that we get to serve directly with mm-hmm. people who have gone through this. While we don't know their names, we don't know their stories necessarily, it's always fun and exciting and often emotional to try and figure out what they've done.
Sure. Life. So are there any requirements for students that want to serve with your club?
No, there are absolutely no requirements. Okay. We have kind of created this club, me and the president, Tiffany Sims, have tried creating this club lately especially to be as relaxed as possible. We know it's a difficult issue, but we also realize that people, especially college students here at Lee, have incredibly busy lives. And so we're looking forward to a lot of different ways that where we can just have relax and open up those difficult dialogues, if mm-hmm. you will, and create dialogues that will change the way that we think and that educate people about the pro-life movement.
So while you necessarily do not have like one-on-one experience with a particular person who, you know, is maybe a client of the New Hope Pregnancy Center, but you guys work more in advocacy and yeah, more in support,
sure.
general support. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Good deal.
Yep.
Good deal. Tell us quick story of success as to why you think this club is a club that Lee students should really consider committing to.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, one story that comes to mind is actually it happened last year at Lee University's campus. We had a group called the Center for Bioethical Reform come in, and they actually set up camp kind of in the middle of the street here on Lee's campus.
Yep.
And it drew a ton of attention from not only people outside of the club, like it drew most of attention from people outside of the club, but it drew the attention of our club as well, because what they were doing was they had these incredibly graphic sure. images of showing aborted babies and saying that somehow the women who were aborting their babies were of the devil somehow, mm-hmm. and just all these demonic images. And it bothered us. And so what we decided to do was we released a statement saying that we weren't affiliated with this group, kind of number one, just to kind of separate ourselves from that. And number two, we hope that we would be able to use our position on this campus as a pro-life club in order to further the correct way, or at least a better way, to really talk about the pro-life movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think, and it ended up getting us a lot of attention, which was fantastic, because we were beginning to kind of slowly kind of die off, but after that, we were re-energized,
yeah.
if you will. So,
cool. So, if somebody wants to reach out to you, how do they do that? How do they connect with you guys?
You guys can actually just email me. My email is ecoomb00@leeu.edu.
Perfect. Ethan, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate you coming in, okay?
Yeah, of course.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, so we have in the studio now Everett Apple and Trevor Arrowood. They are the current leaders of Crossover. Now, I can't lie about it, guys. It probably is one of my favorite clubs. I've been around Crossover longer than you guys and probably longer. Well, I was around when it started. So for those people who may have never heard of Crossover, what is this thing we call Crossover?
Crossover is a service club ministry that goes out every Saturday in order to help provide food as a foot-in-the-door tactic to those that are impoverished or low-income. And through this little foot in the door with the food, we are able to build up relationships with the residents. And through these relationships, we're able to help foster the community of God and just kind of like build up that kingdom that way.
So now, Trevor, how long have you been in Crossover?
This will be my third year.
Everett?
Yeah, this is my second year.
So why did you choose Crossover, Everett?
All right, so going back to last year, I started just by hearing about it word of mouth, and I was invited one weekend. And I decided to kind of risk it and go and see what it was all about. And everyone says, wow, it's such a great way to get service hours. And I kind of went with that in mind. But I really did just fall in love with it. And pretty much every week after that, I continued to come back.
So now this takes place every week that school is in session, or do you also do it on some of the holidays whenever students are gone, or is that just depending on the year?
We take off our breaks, but besides that, we meet every Saturday.
Is there, you know, because I remember when we started this club, or when this club started, that, you know, people would come and they'd participate. And this is a little different than a lot of clubs. I mean, this is very relationship draining. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So what are some ways that people that might want to get plugged in here, what are some things they need to be? I mean, there's not really any prerequisites, you know, or requirements, but what do they need to really know about this club? You know, you say, okay, I get the picture. We pack boxes of food. We take it to people that we hang out with during the week, right? But what do people really need to understand about this value? You know, you talk about a relationship building. What do they need to know about this? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can speak to that. Kind of as Trevor was saying, the food is kind of from an outside perspective what CrossOver looks like. It looks like a service where we're able to help out and bring food to different communities. But as Trevor was saying, it's kind of a way to get our foot in the door and build these connections and build these relationships. Now, if you've asked anyone that's been a part of CrossOver for a while, they're going to have incredible stories that they've built up with these families and with these individuals. And sometimes that is draining. Sometimes you're not going to go out and it's not going to be a perfect Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. It's hard stories. Sometimes you're rejoicing with the people, but sometimes you sit with them and just kind of do life with them for a few minutes every Saturday morning. So
Now, Trevor, you stuck around. I've noticed some people who have participated in CrossOver that didn't stick around. Mm-hmm. So why, realizing this is a tug of war sometimes on your emotions, why are you still doing this?
The family that I was able to get plugged in with just made a huge impact on me. Being able to see them in the condition that may be not the best, but be able to see such joy and be able to have such good times and such a good relationship with these people has been absolutely amazing. For example, sometimes we'll go and we'll watch a movie with somebody. Or we'll just sit around and we'll talk about what's happened that week and be able to see the joy of that week or even the hardship, but also seeing that they give us wisdom too. It really is a give and take when you're on CrossOver. I can't even count the amount of times that I've been imparted wisdom upon myself from one of my families.
So reciprocity, as you and I've talked about in the classroom before, you know, back when you were with a peer leader in one of my classes, you know, reciprocity works in this situation. So as much of an impact on you as you're making on them.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So what do you want students to know who are listening to this today, Everett, that would might let them know, okay, I'm a freshman at Lee, you know, maybe I'm a junior or, you know, I'm a senior even, and I've not yet got involved in a real club. What do you want them to know to invite them and get them interested in your club?
Yeah, absolutely. Something that is kind of a misconception about CrossOver or a lot of other clubs is that once you sign up, it's got to be a firm commitment and you have to be there every week, whereas CrossOver is not like that. And something that we love is that some people do come and find out that it's not exactly for them, but if I would say anything, I would just encourage everyone to come at least try it, see what it's like, because there might be someone out there that doesn't necessarily know about it, but you might find a community and a family in CrossOver itself. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. Just come out and try it.
And in a couple of years, you guys are going to be finished and you're going to be passing the baton over to somebody else. And so we obviously need more people to come around and walk the journey with you. If somebody wants to connect with you guys, how do they reach out? You know, have you got a Facebook for CrossOver? I don't even know that. Do you have, you know, they email you? What do they do if they want to get involved in the club or just meet on Saturdays, you said, right?
Yeah, we meet.
What's the details?
We meet at 10 o'clock in the Leonard Center parking lot. And it's
the back parking lot.
The back parking lot. And you can just show up. Or if you want details, you can email. I'm tarrows00@leeu.edu is a good way to get connected also.
Good deal. Awesome. Hey, guys, thanks for coming in, and I appreciate what you do. I'm telling you, I've seen this from the beginning, and I'm hoping in the next 50 years, you know, we're still going to see this keep going, and I think it's a win-win. So thank you for what you do. I know you're both very, very busy students, but yet you find time to serve, and that makes a meaning.
Thank you for having us.
You got
thank
it.
You.
And we're back continuing this conversation with our service club leaders. And in the room with me now, I have Mallory Shoemaker. Welcome, Mallory. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
And I think you just woke up from a nap to join us, right?
Yeah, I did.
There you go. Spoiler. I believe in naps, Mallory. I really do. I think they're critically important to success in a day. So you should keep practicing that, all right?
I've become a believer once I started college, for sure.
You got it. I'll call him Jason Z because I don't know how to pronounce your last name, Jason.
Zürcher.
Zürcher.
Yes. Zürcher.
Yeah, we'll do that another day. All right?
Yeah, just sounds great.
Jason Z. Jason? There
Jason.
We go. All right, here we go, guys. We're back.
Yes, so, sir.
Big Pal, Little Pal, right? This is your club you're part of. How long have you been a member of the club?
I've been a member for about 2 years now, okay. And started in leadership about a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah, this will be my third year in the club.
So why did you guys join Big Pal, Little Pal?
I started it mainly because I didn't have Gateway to lean on for service hours anymore.
Transfer student?
No, okay. But just like I got all my hours freshman year.
Okay.
But then it was my turn to kind of figure it out, and I had a couple friends in the club, and so they said, come to this meeting. And so I went to the meeting, and it definitely started out as just a way to get service hours, but then it very quickly transformed into like a passion and something that I love to do.
Okay. So define Big Pal, Little Pal. What is Big Pal, Little Pal?
Big Pal, Little Pal, we are a mentorship program partnered with the Boys and Girls Club, which is an after-school program here in Cleveland, but also they're all over America. So we go in, our main goal is mentorship with the kids. We want to be able to build a relationship with them and to eventually share Christ with them. So we do that through spending time with the kids, helping them with homework, playing games with them at the Boys and Girls Club, doing puzzles, anything, all of the things with them, whatever they want to do. But we also do events outside of the Boys and Girls Club to get them out of their environment, also to help grow that relationship. So this semester we have a kickoff party, our spiritual retreat, and a Christmas party planned so that we have time to get to know the kids more and just have fun with them.
So if Lee University students want to volunteer with Big Pal, Little Pal, how many times a week do you meet? Or is this like one meeting as part of the club and then you can have secondary visits? Or what does that look like?
Yeah, so we don't meet weekly.
Okay.
You have the freedom to go to the club whenever you want. Okay. However, every day out of the week, Monday through Friday, one of the leadership people will be going to the club.
Okay.
So you're free to join them whatever day is best for you. But we require 10 hours a semester at the Boys and Girls Club. So if you have a busy week, you can't make it that week, that's okay. We just require 10 hours at the club.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet all together with members and leadership.
The three events you were just talking about.
Yeah,
right?
To talk about those, we meet once a month, pretty much roughly, to just also be engaged with our members.
So why should a student listening to us get committed to volunteer with Big Pal, Little Pal?
It's just like, it's a very easy and kind of obvious way to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. We talk a lot about like the kind of poverty that surrounds us here in Cleveland. And a lot of these kids that we serve, we get to show what a consistent relationship looks like. And we get to just love them and show them a Christ-like love that some of them might not have ever really been able to experience before. And so it's just like kind of handed to us, and we're very blessed to be able to do that. And so, yeah.
Jason, do you have a success story of maybe a member of the club, a student, or maybe even a Lee student, one of your peers that has been impacted by this mentoring program?
Yeah, so we have a spiritual retreat every year, which is our overnighter with the kids. We rent a local church facility, and we spend the night with the kids and just...
And you never sleep. I've seen those before. I've been to them. So,
yeah, sure. Yeah, we don't sleep a lot, if any.
Yeah.
However, the kids love it. It's a really good opportunity to get to know the kids more. One of the stories that first came to mind was from last year. We have one of our members got super close with her little pal and learned that her little pal does not have a Bible at home.
Oh, wow.
Or anything like that, and was able to share the gospel with them. And then we were able to actually go purchase a Bible for the little pal.
Oh, wow.
And as a club presented the Bible to her. And it was just a really cool how she cherished that gift and like carried around everywhere with her. Yeah, it was one of our coolest moments, I think.
Any requirements to join your club? Any prerequisites?
There are no prerequisites to join.
So if you're breathing, you can join.
Yes, yep. Sir.
That's good. I like that. I like that. All right, guys, if somebody wants to reach out to you and they want to connect with your club, how do they do that here on campus?
Well, we just have a new Instagram that we have up and running. It's LeeUBPLP. And then also...
LeeUBPLP.
Mm-hmm.
Lee University Big Pal Little Pal.
Yep.
I'm smart, Emily. You catching this? All right, go ahead.
And then You'll know when we're about to have our meetings because we go around campus and sidewalk chalk the information.
Nice, I've seen that.
The night before. Yeah. And okay. Also, our kind of trademark is our
floppy guys.
Yeah, our blow up floppy guys that are in front, usually in front of the humanities.
Good deal.
That represent a big pal and a little pal.
Good deal. All right. So, guys, I appreciate you doing this. So what year are you at Lee?
I'm a senior, sir.
You're a senior?
Yeah.
Also a senior.
All right. So we obviously need members of the club because you're going to have to hand this over to somebody else eventually, right?
Yep.
Good deal. Hey, thanks for coming in, and we hope you get some members this semester.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, we're back. Thank you for sticking around with these conversations that we have with our service club leaders. Jake Hassock is in the room. Adopt a grandparent, right, Jake?
Right. What's up, man?
Not much, man. Glad to have you with us. Now, Jake and I have a little history. He's a student with mine in summer honors, and then he also went on a trip with me to Honduras. You too can go on a trip with me to Honduras if you'd like to. This is a shameless plug for a cross-cultural trip, right? So anyway, check it out. It's wherever cross-cultural trips are listed, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about adopt a grandparent.
Yes.
What in the world is adopt a grandparent, Jake?
So adopt a grandparent is basically like the club form of Deke Day. And
okay.
If I know the incoming freshmen just went to Deke Day where they go see a bunch of elderly or patients in nursing home facilities around Tennessee along with Georgia. And we're basically the club form of that, except we don't go as far as Georgia. We go to local nursing homes and we see the patients and the residents there and we get to spend time with them throughout the semester. And what we actually do is we get to adopt one, per se, and it's really a fun experience. You, again, spend time with them throughout the semester and really get to develop a relationship with them, and you do so many fun things. Yeah. Like I've, with my grandparent that I've had since my freshman year, and it's been seven semesters now, and it's
wow.
kind of hard to think about it now, but I get to watch movies with her, watch TV. We've watched baseball. We played chess. I mean, she's that's made awesome. Fun of me all the time, and but it's such a loving relationship, and yeah. I really am so thankful for the time I put into the club and what I've gotten out of it as well.
So why did you join this club? How did you get involved?
Well, my freshman year, I was really ambitious and really motivated, and I want to do something. I was coming out of Dr. Lamb's class, and he was such an influence on me, and I'm not doing that to puff his ego up or anything like that, but he was just, he really motivated me to do something. And so I found Adopt a Grandparent and I was like, you know what, let me give it a try. And you know, from the minute I went to the interest meeting, I just realized that this was something I really liked. And because I'm a nursing major as well, so I'm going to need to know how to have how to interact with patients and interact with people in, you know, care facilities such as a nursing home or even a hospital. So, and once I finally got into a nursing home, that's when I just the love like got even like
oh, yeah.
bigger, because it was just such an experience. I had the intentions at first of, or I had the idea that I'd be just kind of like giving my time to these patients and to these residents, but it turned out to be completely different. They were actually giving more to me than I,
oh, wow.
that I felt they were giving more to me than I was giving to them. And that is something that I thought was extremely valuable. So really, I really like to serve people. And I,
so tell me, how many facilities are you guys serving in each semester?
We usually do two.
Okay. We're and they're local here in Cleveland?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're kind of in the process of getting a third one, but we're unsure with, I'm unsure about it along with my officers. We're still discussing it. We want to make sure that the facilities we have now are filled up with our members, and we don't want to have to scatter our members throughout three facilities. And
so if you had more club members, you'd be able to do more facilities.
Absolutely. Yeah, of right. course. I've been getting emails from plenty of places about, you know, getting connected with Adopt a Grandparent. It's kind of awesome, but mm-hmm. I just wish I could have more members in order to go to those facilities and be able to represent us and serve the elderly there.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a story of success. Tell us, you mentioned obviously about your own self, right? And so seven semesters, how you've been, you know, challenged personally, but do you have a success story that you can tell us that, you know, might would help someone to better understand why this is something they should try to do?
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of stories. I'm going to keep it rather simple. A lot of the stories I have, I feel like, are on the same, go off the same kind of like, are pretty similar. So really, one time I was playing chess with my grandparent, and she's killer at chess. She used to play chess, and in high school, and so she would brag to me about like how she was gonna really beat me. And she, to be fair, she has beat me every time we played. And so we were playing, and I'm not great at chess, and I'm kind of like picking at my pieces. I'm like, okay, what's the best thing I could do? Trying to look like I'm pretty good at chess, but really, no, it just wasn't flying with her. And so I moved one piece, and she's like, are you sure you want to do that? I'm like, yeah. And she asked me again, are you like super sure? I'm like really like confused at this point, but I'm like, yeah, I'll make it. And then she just not even a second pass, and she just knocked my piece over, and she's like, I win. And so she, at that moment, that's just one of the examples of how precious this relationship I have with her, have had with a adoptive grandparent. And it's those simple moments that I've come to really appreciate. And I think with school and being a nursing major, I've really stressed out about a lot of things, about like my future and about my present. But adoptive grandparent has shown me that the simple parts of life can really be appreciated. And I really look forward to doing stuff like that with my grandparent, and being able to just, you know, watch movies and talk with her. It's just simple, and is a really great time.
Are there any requirements to be a member of the club?
Well, with our process to get into the club, we only do it at the beginning of every semester. So all you need to do is you gotta, you know, be a routine member. You have to come to all the club meetings. You have to visit 10 hours a semester. And in order to visit facilities, you need to get a TB shot, and you need to go through a background check. Usually those take about a week to 2 weeks, but after that, you'll get with us, and we'll go visit some members in the facilities. And that's about it, though. We don't really meet at a regular time each week. It's very, you know, based around your schedule.
So you individually get to go. You don't have to go as a whole club to the actual facility,
yes,
right? Okay.
Yeah.
So you have an email. So what is the email where people can get a hold of you?
Yeah, so it is jhase00@leeu.edu.
Okay. And, you know, I guess that's the main thing, is just to try to figure out, you know, how people can connect with you. But, man, I appreciate it, Jake. I think it's exciting to see seven semesters, man. You dug in, you planted your feet there, and you're going to finish well with that.
Yeah.
So any last words you have for anybody that's contemplating this?
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, it's really a life-changing experience. If you liked Deke Day when you were a freshman, or you just love to serve people, I think adoptive grandparents for you. And the elderly population is one that's typically forgotten, and if you want to make an impact, I assure you that's one population that really needs it.
Good deal. Thanks, Jake.
So, no problem. Thank you, Dr. Lamb.
All right. Hey, guys. Thank you for staying with us, and I hope you're enjoying these conversations. And in the studio now, we have Joelle Searcy. How'd I do with that, Joelle? Is that good?
That is right.
Now, she works in the Leonard Center, and I call her Jolene just for fun on a regular basis, but it's actually Joelle.
Yes.
So what year are you at Lee Joelle?
I'm a senior now.
Wow, a senior.
Yes.
This I did not even pay attention to. And we have Tori, otherwise known as Victoria Livesay. Is that right?
Yes, that Livesay. Is correct. Yes.
It's spelled Livesay, but we'll call it Livesay.
You're right.
There you go. So you two ladies are currently the leaders. Are your site leader, right, Joelle? Mm-hmm. And you're president of Backyard.
Yes.
Now, I know what Backyard is, and so I'm delighted to know that it's one of the 11 service clubs on our campus, but for many of our listeners, they may not be aware of what Backyard is. So tell us what the Backyard program is here at Lee University, and maybe a little bit about what you do.
Okay, so I'll start us off with what it is. Backyard is a tutoring / mentorship program for children. We mostly work with elementary students and middle school students in neighborhoods here in Cleveland. We take a group of college students weekly to these neighborhoods, and we meet the kids where they're at in their own neighborhoods, and we help them with homework, we play games with them, sports, and then at the end we share Bible stories while giving each family a bag of food for the week.
Wow. So how long does an actual Backyard session last?
Say ours are usually like an hour and a half to 2 hours, hanging out with the kids, running around, playing games, that kind of thing.
So 2 hours? Yes. Wow, you guys are better than we were in the early days. I think we only survived about 45 minutes to an hour. So that's really, really cool. So now there's two neighborhoods here currently in town. Do you have any ideas or dreams of expanding? I mean, are there other communities that could benefit from something like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's communities all over the country that could benefit.
There you go.
Our vision really is to build up the leaders within the neighborhoods we're working in, so eventually they can lead the younger students around them, and we can move on to new neighborhoods.
So it's highly relational.
Absolutely.
Good deal. So give us a story or two. Can you have a success story about maybe why this thing works, either an impact on a particular student in the community or an impact that you have seen on one of your peer leaders or one of your peers that's actually a student leader in the club or a student participant?
Okay, so I would say one of the most impactful parts of Backyard that I've had is I'm a friend with one of our girls in the neighborhood, and I've known her for a while, and one day I sat down with her, and she just told me a lot about her struggle and her family and mental health, and that's been a continuing struggle that she continues to bring to Backyard and tells some of the tutors that she's close with. And it's been really great to watch her take that outlet and use it to help make her family a little healthier. Even though it's in really small ways, it means talking to the school counselor every once in a while. At least she's not in silence, and she's still talking to people that can speak truth into her life.
For me, definitely last semester was a big turning point for me because I'm a Spanish minor and I speak Spanish pretty well.
Bueno.
Gracias. Bien. Yeah. And a family recently moved into the neighborhood that I regularly attend.
Wow.
And they had only been in the United States for about 2 weeks.
Wow.
They're from Central America, and so no one in the family spoke very much English, but here were two elementary schoolers being given homework in English. And so I was able to connect the parents with Lee University's English Learning Center, the free program they have for adults learning English, and then also write notes to the boys' teachers at school saying they needed extra help. And at the end of the spring semester, they were only with us for the last month of our program. At the end, we had one tutor interview every one of the students at that location, asking what their favorite part about Backyard was that year. And these boys, they answered in Spanish, but their answer was learning about Jesus in English.
Wow.
And that was just really powerful.
Say that for us in Spanish, what you just said.
Aprendiendo sobre Jesús en inglés.
Wow. So they not only were learning the English language, they were learning about the value of a relationship with God.
Absolutely. And they were able to see how faith and our belief in Jesus can transcend language barriers.
So why would a student or why should a student consider getting involved with the Backyard?
It's a good question. I personally got involved in Backyard because I was assigned to it. And
explain that. Now, it wasn't like you were doing some kind of community service because you were in trouble or anything, right? This was just explain that for us, Joelle.
Yeah, okay. This might be a complicated answer, but I was assigned for a scholarship to the Leonard Center as a liaison between Backyard and the Leonard Center.
Poema scholar.
Yes.
Correct.
And so I honestly did not have a lot of experience with kids. I was pretty uncomfortable with kids. I'd done a lot of service before, but not in this way. And through Backyard, I, number one, learned to talk to kids, which is a pretty valuable skill. And number two, I watched as volunteers kind of came and went and how the students needed people that were really consistent. And so even when I didn't have to go, I continued to keep going in the years following that year. So it really changed me a lot, and I can guarantee it will change you if you really invest.
So, Tori, how does someone, if they want to get involved with Backyard, how do they reach you guys? What do they do?
Got
an email or something? Do you guys have a Facebook or Instagram account or anything like that?
We have an email and a brand new Instagram as of this week.
Tell us.
At Lee U Backyard.
Lee U Backyard. L-E-E-U Backyard.
Yep, all right. Exactly.
And what's an email they can reach out to?
They can, as of now, just email my school email, which is vlives00 at leeu.edu.
V-L-I-V-E-S 00 at leeu.edu, correct?
Yep, that's
awesome. Awesome. Hey, guys, thanks so much for joining us today and for coming in. I have to say this, you know, I can't necessarily pick a favorite club. I can't do that because I, you know, champion all of them. But I think I've been involved with this one longer than any of the others. And so, hey, guys, as always, you know, check it out. See what it's like. Join these guys. When can they meet you? When do you meet?
Tuesdays at 3:30 in the Leonard Center parking lot.
And then you go to one of these two communities in town.
Yep, you don't need your own transportation. We carpool.
Great. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.